Mark chapter 5, we will be referring to maybe a few verses there as you turn it up. I was thinking of smuggling Bibles. Many years ago we used to smuggle our groceries from Enniskillen down into Clonus. But that was where we started our bad habit. But last year 530,000 Bibles went across from Hong Kong into China under the work of LCI. 65% of those Bibles were taken across by people, old people and young people from Northern Ireland took them across. There's a wee problem at the moment. Their finances are short for printing Bibles. They have the workers there, but the Bibles at the moment are scarce. They're waiting to pay for another consignment of Bibles. They're printed in Japan, bound in Malaysia, brought into Hong Kong, carried across in suitcases, and then they're posted through China. They're put in boxes and posted through China. It's an interesting work there. Let's pray. Father, bless thy word as we close tonight. We ask thee for thy presence, thy help. We thank thee for meetings like this.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, speak to some dear soul that knows thee not for thy glory. Amen.
Amen.
Mark chapter 5, it tells us there about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had crossed over the Sea of Galilee. There had been a great storm in the ship. And the Lord Jesus Christ got up in the ship and he rebuked the wind and he calmed the sea. The disciples saw his power over nature. They saw his tremendous power over even the Sea of Galilee. He arrives at the place called Gadara. And there as he leaves the Sea of Galilee, he comes down the road into Gadara and he comes past the graveyard. The tombs. And as he comes past the graveyard, there's a man comes out to meet him. This man is a very sad case. Full of sin. Full of demon possession. Now I say people today don't believe in demons. They don't even believe in a real devil. But there is, maybe not in the same volume as there was in Christ's day, but there is demon possession. And all this witchcraft and fortune telling, and I believe from up our area there's ladies and gentlemen and they come down to Enniskillen to get their fortune told. And there's a lady here, I'm not sure who she is, I don't really intend to meet her if I can help it, but she's very well into witchcraft and fortune telling and so forth, and she lives somewhere in Enniskillen. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he arrives at the tomb of Gadara. Are the gravestones and the tombs in Gadara. And we see this poor sinner coming out of the graves. And it tells us there he had, he was an unclean spirit, verse 2. So he was a spiritual man, but the spirit that was in him was unclean. And his dwellings was among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no not with chains. He loved seclusion, he loved his own space. He was a strong man, he was an evil man. Now I'm talking here perhaps of an extreme case, but we see the miserable condition of a sinner. It says they had often bound him with fetters and chains, the chains plucked from asunder him, the fetters were broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now, if you know anything about the world out there, some of these young people are hard to tame. What was the man on television or the radio one day, he said we have a remote control in every room and we can control nothing. And we have children today growing up and they say I heard a wee boy on the radio the other day and he says, I get out of bed, I do what I like. Do you go to school, no? What do you do? Just whatever I want to do. No one to instruct you, no, I don't care, nobody tell me what to do. And that's the attitude of today's young people and that's the attitude that they learn from their parents. Isn't that right? I was told years ago, if you want to go to get a girlfriend and you want to know what your girlfriend turns out like, look at her mother. And I suppose that goes for husbands as well, doesn't it? If you want to see what your boyfriend's going to turn out, look at his dad. There you are. And we are just handed down from parents' generations. And here we see this miserable state, an unhappy man, a restless man. He's restless day and night. He's sleepless, he says he was always in the mountain, at night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself, self-harming. Yeah, The miserable condition of the unsaved. They are miserable in their condition. Here's a man and he's got strength and all the health and so forth, and it's all against himself. He's hurting himself. I'm sure up that way they told the children, now don't you go up by that road up past the graveyard, go round the other way. No one went up that way at night time in the dark because of this evil man. People say today that's not the case here, but I'll tell you, there's many of our cities and streets you can't go down at night time. Here's a sin. Here's a sin. Here's demon possession. Oh, you say, well, no, that's demon possession. There's not much of that about. Let me tell you, we're either under our Heavenly Father or else we're under the Father of the devil. Now, the devil may show his power more in some than in others. But, oh, Satan's a cruel taskmaster. Satan takes that young boy, that young girl that has been brought up in a good home, and he takes them and he gets them into bad company, and they think they're doing well, they think they're going well, and the company gets worse and worse, and he takes them and he smashes them and he put them in hell. That's what he do. Not everybody goes to heaven. Oh, that our young people and our older people, that the mothers and fathers would encourage them into better company. Oh, that we might encourage our young people to come to know Christ as their Savior and lead them in a different direction. Today we're taught in school, you come from nowhere and you're going nowhere. You come from evolution and after you die it's all finished, it's over. But the devil's in this passage here, you read it carefully, maybe tonight when you go home. The devils believed and trembled in the presence of God and they said, don't torment us. They believed in Jesus Christ. Oh, here we have this poor man. Here we have the miserable condition of a sinner. Sinners tonight, they're not a happy people. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not a happy person. You're a lonely person. You're sad underneath it all. Oh, you can smile and carry on, but you're sad underneath it. You haven't your sins forgiven. You have a burden. You have a guilt. You have a sorrow. You haven't it sorted out for the end of the day. Oh, here we have this man in the terrible state he's in. And it's a spiritual problem. The Lord Jesus Christ goes to Gadara to meet them. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ, he came off the little boat. He didn't take the bypass route to miss the tombs. He comes down the road wanting to meet this man face to face. And the man ran out to meet Jesus. This man with all his problems and spiritual sin and all the rest of it, he wanted set free. Tell me, do you want set free from sin? Amen. Oh, can you see this enemy, the devil, the spiritual attack, the demons, the powers of evil? We paint a picture of the devil with somebody with horns and a tail and all. No, it's not really like that. He's so subtle. He's so cunning. He shows the young person the glass of wine and the fun and, oh, then it goes on, this enemy. This enemy that is out to take your soul. You need to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ, it tells us, is mighty to save. Oh, the strong man that comes into the house and he binds the enemy and he throws him out. And he comes into your life, he comes into your heart, he comes into your home, he comes into all your being. And he brings peace and joy and happiness. You say, well, I know a few Christians and they say they're Christians and they're not too happy. Well, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe there's some old sin that they won't confess and get rid of. Some old habit. Some old problem. Some old bitterness. Man, we live in a country of bitterness, don't we? Oh, we do. I'm telling you, I never forget him. I never. You know, that's a wonderful thing that happens. Many years ago, it's a long time now, my dad was at home. He woke one morning, it was Christmas morning, that's right. No, Boxing Day. It's Boxing Day. Got it right. And he woke and there's a big family of him and he looked over to his brother George and he says, well, George, where were you last night? And George lifted his head to the pillow and had got a beating. His face was a mess. He says, "George, what happened to you, boy?" "Oh," he says, "name the man up the road. We're in a fight and he beat me." So my dad went down for breakfast and they were sitting at the table. And my grandfather was a huge, big beast of a man, and he says, "Where's George this morning, boys? He's not down for breakfast. Dad said he got a bit of a beating last night. Bring him down. Bring him out." George come down, and my dad, my granddad looked at him and he says, "Boy's a dear. The man that did that," he said, "I'd hang his guts on a thorn." And my father said, "I'll do that. I'll do it." And before that morning was finished, only for two men coming and stopping the fight, my father said, "I would have killed him." And nearly did. Searched for him for hours that day to kill him. How did he get the seed of the evil thought? From his father. You're sitting watching television and the news comes on. "Boys, there's that old so-and-so there. I don't care what party you belong to. Look at him. Wouldn't you love to put a bullet in his head?" Do you ever say that? "Man, if you could get your hands on him. Or her." And your wee boy and your wee girl sitting saying, "I'll do that. I'll do that." We needn't laugh about these things. Would I tell you something? During the Troubles, and even today, one of the largest churches in prison is the Free Presbyterian one. And here we have the powers of evil, and the power of the devil to take men and women and boys and girls and drag them down into hell. But we have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes along, and oh, he sets prisoners free. He sets the captive free. He gives you real life, real joy, real happiness. Oh, the change that comes in. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ to set them. He comes down the road, the two meet head on. The powers of evil and the powers of good. God's Son, our Savior. And as it were, the devil in a human flesh. And the Lord Jesus Christ, did he run away? Not at all. The devil had to run. James Gilmer was going to Mongolia to do missionary work, and in Mongolia in the early days there was a dreadful evil. And they said to James Gilmer, "Are you not afraid of evil spirits up there in Mongolia?" He said, "The Spirit of Christ that dwells within me is greater than any evil spirit I will ever meet." What a life he lived in Mongolia. Oh friend, to see this man, to see the change. Now I hear people saying, "Oh, let those people alone. Sure, they're happy in their sin. Why do you go to Africa to tell them about Jesus? Aren't they happy? Why do you go to China to tell them in their rice fields about Jesus? Sure, aren't they happy?" Friend, they're not happy. No sinner is happy. That poor critter tonight, and he's sitting there at the bar, and he looks into an empty glass, and he's an alcoholic, and the glass is empty, his pocket's empty. Is he happy? At all. No. We give out tea some nights in Stravana to the dancers and the discos and stuff in the early hours of the morning. One man asked everybody come up the street that he could talk to one night. "Well, how did you go? Had you a good night?" "No. No." Wasn't one of them. One young fella come up one night and he says, "Here, I'm about to pay for that cup of tea." And he pulled his money out. I said, "Look, we don't take money for tea." He can't, "Oh goodness," he says, "where did all that money go?" "I come out the night, Nike," he said, "he had £100. Look, all I've got's a bit of change." But he wasn't happy. And I tell you, sin doesn't bring happiness. The drug addict longing for more drugs. Where can he get more drugs? The young girl, the young fella, and there's the wee girl and she's lost her baby. The little baby was taken away and adopted. There's been an abortion. Do you mean to tell me that that young girl's going to be happy the rest of her life as she wakens every day and says, "I wonder where my wee boy is, my wee girl is"? Sin. But to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, to be cleansed, to be washed, to be set free, to be made a new creature, a new creation in Christ, to be a new person. And you will be a new person. This man was a new man. when the Lord Jesus drove out the devils, and then went into a herd of swine and fell into the sea and were drowned. But the man, oh, the man, what a change is in him. It said there was a legion of demons. That means there was just very many of them. And there it says he was, where are we, down the verses? Verse 12. And the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that they may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave, and the unclean spirits went out, entered into this. Here's a man, he's set free. Sin and Satan has to go. Sin and Satan. And they come down to verse 15, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and he had that legion, he's sitting and clothed and in his right mind. He's not roaring round the graveyard any longer. He's sitting clothed. There's peace. There's a contentment. There's a little joy in his life that he never had. He has met the Savior. Tell me, do you know anything of that experience? The peace, the joy, the contentment. Oh, this man's loneliness is gone. He's got a friend. He's got a Savior. Oh, his sins are forgiven. He's never going to frighten the children anymore. He's never going to harm himself anymore. Jesus, what a Savior. What a transformed person. Oh, let me tell you, you're in the meeting tonight, you're not saved. You say, I'm not in that condition, but hold on a minute. You're heading in the wrong direction. Will you come to the Savior tonight? Will you trust him? Will you allow him to set you free and give him a peace, give you a peace, a joy, a contentment, give you a new song, give you a desire for the prayer meeting, for the Word of God, for a Bible, give you a new life? And then when you get older, you can say, all the way my Savior led me, what have I to ask beside? Comes to the end of the journey, Mr. Gray goes around the old people's home. Oh, I wish I would have done such a... I did. When you come to the end of the journey, I was in a hospital visiting a lady the other week, and on my way in, the nurse said to me, it was a male nurse, and he said, you know, this is the nicest woman you'll ever meet. And I went in and I sat and talked with her a little while. And I said, tell me, what did you work at? She said, I've been a missionary in India all my life. And I said, tell me, what regrets have you? None, she says, absolutely none. And she's told me about stories that happened in India. Oh, to be like that when we get a wee bit older, a few years' time. To know Jesus set free. Here's the crowd, they gather out. They say, what's happened? And they see the man sitting who was possessed, that evil, wicked man, and he's sitting smiling like a Cheshire cat. He's happy. He's smiling. He's joyous. Sins are forgiven. He's clothed again. And he's in his right mind, and he's sitting with Christ, his great friend. And it says to people, but where'd the pigs go? Where's the sows? I don't know if we used to keep pigs. Where'd the sows go? Where'd the wee pigs go? Where'd the litter of sows? What's happened? Said to God. Hey, get that man out of here. Get Jesus out of here. Do you know that's what they would do today? Too many businessmen, many people. If you touch their business, get rid of Jesus. Get rid of Jesus. I wonder, friend, what you hold dear. Is it Jesus or business? Oh, if you have Jesus, Jesus only. There's none like him. Tell me, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't find him tonight, meet Christ tonight. Wait behind, talk with us. Let's help you find the Savior. And oh, here's the crowd, and they say, Jesus, go, go. And the old man of Gadara comes up, and he says, Jesus, can I go with you? You're my friend now. I've never had a friend like you before. You're the one that understood my need. You're the one that's forgiven me. You're the one that saved me and cleansed me and washed me and clothed me. Look, I'm a new man. Jesus, can I go with you? And the Lord Jesus says, hold on a minute. I want you to do something. These people don't want me. Would you stay and talk to them when I'm away? Would you go back home and tell your family that Jesus saves? Wonderful. And that's what he did do. He went home and told his family that Jesus saves. Tell me tonight, do you know and love the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Can you say, I love Jesus? Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Do you know him? Love him. Saved, washed, cleansed, clothed. What's your ambition in life? Lord Jesus, can I go with you? And the Lord stopped and says, I'll show you the exact place to be. There's an exact place for you and I to be in this world. An exact place. And the Lord wants to put you there. It may be at home. It may be in Manila, like Noel Stevenson. It may be like Joy Gillespie in Spain, or Gillian over in Kenya. It may be in the north of Ireland. It may be in the south of Ireland. Oh, yes. Ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. When great Saul found Christ as a Savior, it says two things. Saul says, Lord, what will you have me to do? And then it says, behold, he prays. The mark of the Christian. Oh, come to Christ tonight. What a Savior. There's none like him. We can't recommend any friend like him. Oh, that you might find the Savior, and that you might find him tonight.